praying for? Is it war that you're fighting for? Is it love that you're straying from? Is it you that you're running from? Always on the run, run, run. So you run. Don't try my alchemy, you talking wild to me. These fallacies, who and what to do, what we allowed to be. Calculate your every move, that shit don't amount to me. Quit doubting me, it don't take algebra for you to count on me. You can't program perfection. Life without direction is bound to get ingested. Belly of the beast, swallow the key to the dungeon. Are you really running or just chasing something?
I'm always on the run.
Welcome to Around the Rim, ladies and gentlemen. And it's that time of year again. Postseason play is almost among us. Sam Anthony here alongside Ian Kist, Will Camilleri. And it really is a wonderful time of year, guys. I mean, I know this isn't women's basketball, but men's basketball, winning against Mount St. Mary's, crazy. I'm excited about it. And you know that the thing is that's not even the best team you're going to see playing. Women's hockey, as we speak, is up on Penn State 6-1 in the third period.
Incredible.
So basically guaranteeing that they're punching their ticket to the conference championship game. One more win, NCAA tournament for the second year straight. Now we go to the big team here, women's basketball, because you know what? They're trying to punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament for the fourth time in the last 5 years. One of the greatest periods of sustained success in the history of this women's basketball program. We're in the heart of it, guys. And there's two games left. This is the final weekend. Game today against the Wagner Seahawks at home. And finally, Sunday, they finish off against Mount St. Mary's. Not a terribly rough schedule to finish down the stretch. And really, you know, all eyes are on St. Francis and Robert Morris. Is there going to be a team that falters? Is there going to be a team that drops one that then ends up leading the other to be the number one seed? Because it's a two-horse race, and it's been a two-horse race for, I don't know, 2 months now. You know, everyone kind of knew. And as soon as St. Francis beat Robert Morris earlier in the season, you knew that, you know, Robert Morris wasn't going to run away with it. So, you know, I figured we'd start off today's show talking about that Wagner matchup. I know Wagner's not a very good team, but, you know, what are the keys to that matchup? If you're Robert Morris, you're tuning up for the postseason here. What are you trying to do today? One, you know, avoid a loss, because this is a trap game. Definition of a trap game. You know, a game you don't think you should lose, and you know, it's late in the season and you know, you're feeling good, and then all of a sudden, you know, a shocker hits. So you're looking at this Wagner team. What should you be afraid of? Is there anything that Robert Moore should be worried about?
For me, it's Wagner staying in the game. Because they are 4-12 at the very bottom of the standings. But in conference play, six of their losses have been by 6 points or fewer. So, you know, this is a team that can keep it close, that can give you a competitive game. And, you know, the Colonials have found themselves in some games against lower seeded opponents right now in the standings. And they've let them come back. You know, the Colonials against Sacred Heart, you know, held big leads, let them, you know, Sacred Heart fight their way back to within a few, and then before Robert Morris, you know, pulled away at the end. But, you know, this is a Wagner team that will scratch and claw their way at the end of a game. At, you know, if the Colonials get a big lead, they'll attempt to keep it close. And that's, you know, that's the big thing that I'm going to be looking for. Something to keep an eye on later tonight, guys.
Will, what are your thoughts?
I mean, you look at the game they played at Wagner. It was January 20th in that month of winning that we had. Again, like Ian said, they only won by six at Wagner. You had big games from Nina Augustine and Megan Callahan, each putting up 13 points. So I feel like you need those types of numbers from a good portion of the team in order to duplicate what happened in that game back in January.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. And naturally, with Robert Morris's style of play, you know, the defensive style, you're going to have some of those closer games, because mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, if your scoring's not coming, and I think that's the biggest concern, would you say, right? Is, you know, if that offense isn't clicking, you're not hitting your shots, you're keeping teams in games.
Right, because you know their defense is going to
perform
because, like, you know, four of the past five games, I believe, even the game they lost to St. Francis Brooklyn, they held them under 50 points. At CCSU, they let up 51, and at Bryant, they let up 61. But so the highest they've seen in a while is that 61 spot at Bryant, which, you know, they still were able to overcome and win 67-61. So, you have that relatively consistent defense. It's just whether, you know, those offensive pieces kind of show up. Because you look at, like, you know, Nina Augustine went through a stretch of, you know, putting up single-digit points until finally at playing Fairleigh Dickinson, she put up 10. Since then, she went 3, 10, 14. So you really need, like, more consistency out of your offense.
Yeah, and I mean, you talked about it a little bit with Megan Smith last week with, you know, her numbers were down a little bit. You know, someone who was, you know, thrust into the spotlight after hitting that buzzer beater. I mean, she's always been, since her freshman year, she's been consistent for this team. But, you know, this year she's more of an important piece because of, you know, her seniority. But you're right. I mean, I don't think Robert Morris, the beginning of the year, had the intention of having so many freshmen come in and contribute. I mean, it's great. It's really what's led to them being so successful this year. But you're right. It's almost like, and if you're Coach B, the biggest challenge to me comes knowing when to sit players, knowing when, you know, they're not having a night and putting someone else in, because, you know, they've seen that before. Like players like Laura Carrasco, you know, she had a little bit of a bigger role at the beginning of the year, started to struggle a little bit, but she's really great off the bench. I mean, she's 100% a role player. She can hit a big shot when you need her to. I think that's something that is important is, you know, if you're saying, you know, players like Nina Augustine are putting up smaller numbers, especially in those guard positions where you have a lot of talent, I think it's important to know when to, you know, mix and match, switch it up, because we've seen all of those players come in and contribute at a level that's, I think you guys would all agree, is starter level play.
Mm.
So, you know, knowing that, you know, because Hinoki Kimatsu really struggles against the press. And I think if you're a team and you see Wagner's throwing the full court press at Ikamatsu and she's having turnovers, is where, you know, you go, okay, we're going to put in, you know, Nina and Laura because they know how to break the press, or, you know, whatever's going to work in that sense, being aware. And I mean, that's made Robert Moore so good, is they have the ability to do that. But it's, again, knowing when to do that and, you know, hoping that you're not going to have a game where, you know, everyone's struggling. I think that's, you know, again, with such a young team sometimes, I think you get to these bigger games where everything means more, especially down the stretch, because you got to know, as much as Coach B is really great at instilling these pillars and, you know, this mindset of you're not paying attention to what everyone else is doing, you know that part of them is going, at the end of the game, what did St. Francis do? You know, did St. Francis win? Did they lose? Mm-hmm. You know, how's Jessica Kovach doing? You know, being aware of, you know, the pressure, but not letting it, you know, break you down.
Yeah, and I mean, this whole season I've talked about kind of like a 2/3 rule.
Yeah.
And that,
I do like that. I'm a fan of the 2/3 rule.
Thank you. Right now I'm looking at it in application towards the bigs on the team, because you look, and it's not even with points, it's with, you know, rebounds, assists.
And we still don't know what the status of Nneka Ezebo is, do we? No, Ezebo's back.
She played at Bryant and at CCSU. Right,
so hopefully she's back. She's able to
Yeah,
because that's a big piece.
Right.
You know, Megan Smith, even when she's not scoring, she's making plays. Like, she only scored 3 points at Bryant, but she had 7, I believe, assists. Yes, assists. Which is huge, because she's, you know, a major piece in at least seven different plays that led to points being put on the board. So even when like the shots aren't falling, you need two. I mean, I'm talking about bigs. I'm looking at Michaela Mulrain, Megan Smith, and Nneka Ezebo as kind of your three pillars almost of the down low. And you know, you need at least two of them to support kind of that area, that part of the offense, because, you know, when they don't, it's clear that, you know, they struggle. And so, again, even when they're not scoring points, like, as long as they're getting those offensive rebounds, you know, getting it to players that are open, like they will play a big role in these last few games and into the playoffs.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very exciting because while Neka Azebo was out, Iriazi Mamadou, I believe that's how you say it, came in and she produced pretty well. She was 3 for 5 with 6 points against Fairleigh Dickinson. And not only that, but she had 8 rebounds. So that's pretty exciting knowing that Moraine's gone next year. And like you said, you know, that two-thirds rule that you have can kind of, I guess, live on a little bit. I know Megan Smith's gone as well, but you do have players like Nadej Pluvios, who Pluvios is kind of in a similar model of Megan Smith in the sense that she's a forward that can shoot. You know, she can rebound. You know, she had 5 rebounds against Cal Poly, but she can also shoot. I mean, she was 2 for 3 against St. Francis from long range.
She scored 10 points against St. Francis Brooklyn.
Yeah. And, you know, her minutes, for what she gets, because she's getting around 10 minutes a game, really, she's pretty productive. I mean, she's still young, and there's definitely room to improve. But in terms of kind of filling that void, Robert Morris has really done a great job recruiting, I think. And that, to me, is really great for that sustained success. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they're playing Wagner. And as much as that one's not a big worry, now you're getting towards this mindset because this is, you know, this is what you worked for. And as soon as that game's done on Sunday, you're getting ready for Wednesday. And the nice thing for Robert Morris is that they know no matter what, that Wednesday's a home game.
Yep.
Even though they don't know who they're playing, they don't know if they're going to be a 1 or 2, they know it's going to be a home game. I think that's huge. I think that's, you know, big in terms of, you know, kind of having that mindset. And you have, you know, 2 days after that, Monday and Tuesday, and that's really going to be your time to get mentally prepared for those games. So, again, if you're Robert Morris, I guess, you know what, like, since we're not going to be here on Friday, next Friday, for the tournament, I think it does justice now to really talk about it in the sense of what's the game plan? Who are you leaning on to get you that win?
I mean, I think a big answer is Megan Smith. As kind of, at least in our eyes, like the leader of this team, she's the senior. She's pulled off those clutch moments. If she is successful, I feel like we have a great chance of doing big things in these playoffs and then into the NCAA tournament.
See, I want to go a different direction. And in terms of, there's so many talented freshmen on this Robert Morris team. But to me, I mean, I like the idea of the seniority. I think that's important. But I think it goes beyond Megan Smith. I think a couple players that are really big, and in terms of what's your bread and butter, is the defense. You got Michaela Moraine and Neka Azebo, and Jocelyn Jones to go with it. Jocelyn Jones, in terms of being a defensive threat, you know, she's good for 3 or 4 steals in a game, and she can, you know, do that, you know, disruption. And you have Moraine and you have Azebo down low that are going to get you the rebounds. I mean, both of those players are good for, you know, 2 or 3 offensive rebounds a game too, keeping possessions alive and then taking possessions away from those players. And for a team like Robert Morris that doesn't have a lot of size, I mean, you see, you know, Ikemetsu and Augustin on the court, they're not, they're tiny. And so having that size, I think, is huge. And as much as, you know, Megan Smith is a presence in scoring, it comes down to that bread and butter, which is the defense. And I think it's those three players, because when it comes to playing St. Francis, it's going to come down to limiting Kovac, playing your game, applying pressure, and some of that's going to go on Jones. You know, it's going to be Jocelyn Jones versus Jessica Kovac. That's what it was at St. Francis when they lost. And what Kovac was doing was Kovac was letting Jones shoot. And Jocelyn Jones, great player. I wouldn't have her be shooting.
No.
I'm having her cover Kovac because she's going to apply the pressure. She's going to get Kovac out of her rhythm, which she did for every quarter but the third. Every quarter but the third quarter, and Kovac clicked. And the goal is, again, is to limit that. You know, you have to understand Kovac is going to hit shots. She always does. She consistently scored against Robert Morris, but it's controlling that, and it's controlling it in a way that you're staying in the game.
Yeah. Looking, and not necessarily looking into the playoffs as much, but looking at this weekend around the NEC, Play on our name.
I'd
say three of the four games tonight and then a handful of the games on Sunday are very, very important. Not only, I mean, mainly for us as Robert Morris, but, you know, you have St. Francis, PA at Mount St. Mary's, and you have CCSU at St. Francis, Brooklyn tonight. So you really got to hope for Mount St. Mary's and CCSU. I think, honestly, I think this is the one of the first times that we've actually had to root for other teams in the NEC. Because either we've been so out of it that it doesn't matter, or, you know, we're so far ahead that none of the games behind us matter. But
like, it's been exciting.
Yes.
It's definitely been exciting.
Yeah, you have Sacred
Scoreboard
Heart.
Scoreboard watching is always fun.
Yeah, Sacred Heart playing Fairleigh Dickinson on Sunday. If they win and, you know, St. Francis Brooklyn loses out, and we have the de facto number one seed. But, you know, it all we still have to win those two games tonight and Sunday and hope for St. Francis to lose tonight or Sunday.
It's the easy route.
Yeah.
That would be
the easiest way is if, you know, Wagner could pull an upset or Mount St. Mary's.
But I'm not – I mean, the number one seed, I mean, for the first two rounds, the Colonials know that they're going to be home the way the new system is. With the pod setup,
mm-hmm.
But you know, going to St. Francis does scare me. But we have won there before. I think it's a different mindset in the playoffs, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you know, if they do go to St. Francis, hopefully I'll be able to get there to, you know, to cover that game and watch it. But I just think if that obviously we'd love to have that at the rec center. But if they, you know, St. Francis makes it. With the number one seed, I'm frightened a little bit, but I'm not scared. I mean, I think the Colonials can go in there. They proved that they can go in there and play Robert Morris women's basketball and what they're used to, but they just got to keep it going. You can't let you shut down Kovach in the first quarter. You got to do it for the remaining three. And I just think that if they, you know, keep that going, keep that mindset, you know, and stick to what they believe in, I think we're going to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you know, Sam and I's freshman year, I believe RMU was a 4 seed or something like that. So every single round was on the road. I had the privilege of going to all of those games.
Sacred Heart were the final two.
I believe we had one game here.
Yeah, who was that? I forget. Let me look.
I think it was Fairleigh Dickinson. It might have been.
That sounds right.
But anyway, like I feel like it was a very similar team at that point. Obviously, they weren't, you know, record-wise as good, just because we are in the argument for a number one seed here. But you know, they've done it before on tougher roads, because you know, it takes a lot to go all the way up to Rhode Island and then come back and have to turn around and go back for Sacred Heart and then come back and turn around and go back for UConn. So, you know, like they've been able to do it before. Yeah. And it's, even if it is at St. Francis for that final game, you know, it's what, 40 minute drive to Loretto. Granted, it is in the middle of nowhere. So, but
yeah, and that year they were 11-7 in the conference.
Mm hmm.
But they were able to get that. It was a big win at Bryant.
Yes.
Because Bryant was the number one or two seeds.
I believe they were. Yeah,
Sacred
they
Heart
were
was
number
one or two. But
Sacred Heart was
number
one.
And Bryant was number two. And mm-hmm. that was, and they defeated them 72-59. So mm-hmm. this, you know, I mean, that's
I
just
lost
in
my
the,
voice at that
that's
game.
Just in the, that's just in the culture of women's basketball here at RMU is that, you know, who cares where you're seated, where you're at. You're always going to go in with the winning mentality. You're always going to do what you've been doing all season. You're not going to change much. You're going to live by what, you know, the coaches believe in, what you should all be believing in at this point. And that's what I think is special about this program.
I mean, yeah, I 100% agree with that. So I guess my next thought is, you know, it's talking about in terms of like St. Francis. All right. So we're sitting here. All right. I'm looking at St. Francis's remaining two games, at Mount St. Mary's tonight.
Mm-hmm. And then hosting Wagner on Sunday.
And then hosting Wagner on Sunday. So is there a potential loss in there? Or is it, you know, is St. Francis going to win out? Realistically, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they went out. They're a very good team, obviously. Like, they're kind of in the same boat as we are. But, you know, you never know when you're on the road. Even at home, you never really know.
Mm-hmm.
Mount St. Mary's, yeah, I know they're not as much of a powerhouse as they are with men's basketball as they are in women's, but, you know, you never know. That's a very tough place to go in and win, no matter, you know, what sport it is. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they'll lose out by any chance, but I wouldn't be surprised if they won out. Yeah. I'd be excited for us if they lost a game, but I wouldn't be surprised that way either.
It's definitely tonight that they'll most that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Because I think when you go into Sunday, I think, you know, Wagner's going to be just like, is the season over yet? Like you know what I mean? They're going to be worn down because, you know, I predict the Colonials, you know, doing some work on them tonight. So, you know, they're going to be, and then they have to make the travel from here.
Up to Loretto,
which isn't terrible, but, you know, I just think at that point they'll be worn down. I just think and that they'll just
done.
Do their – yeah, I mean,
their season's
they're going to be in the point, like, can we just end this? Like, is it done? It's been terrible. It's been, you know, been excruciating, tiring. But it's you know, Mount St. Mary's, which they're one of those teams that, you know, never count them out in a game. I think there are teams that will, you know, again, scratch and crawl. And I think if you limit you-know-who for St. Francis down a little bit.
She who must not be named.
And just, you know, obviously, like you said, she's going to score. But if you just wear her down like Jocelyn Jones did, you know, just put someone on her that can defend her and kind of get, you know, not mess her up, but kind of get into her head a little bit and kind of make her overthink some things, you have a chance. Because no one else on that team kind of
–
you have Ace Harrison, who's just frightening. She's big. She can do everything. You know, she's – you know, you just let her go to the basket if she's coming at you full force. But there's no one else that really can step up on that team, I don't think.
So, you know, all right. So let's change gears here real quick, because I'm pretty sure we're all established that it's most likely going to be a RMU St. Francis Conference Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any team in the NEC that could provide that upset, that could pull what Bryant did last year? Because, again, it looked like the same thing. You know, Robert Morris had the same... You know, they beat St. Francis in one, and St. Francis destroyed them in another one. So it looked like, all right, it's going to be RMU, St. Francis. Those are the top two teams. St. Francis was the one. Or no, I'm sorry, RMU was the one. St. Francis was the two. And then Bryant came in, pulled off the upset. And, you know, for Robert Morris, that was favorable, and they ended up winning the conference championship. Is there any team that you could really see doing that?
St. Francis, Brooklyn.
Because, like, you know, again, you look at St. Francis, Brooklyn, you look at Bryant, you look at Sacred Heart. I mean, every team is middle of the road except for Robert Morris and St. Francis. I mean, those are the only teams above a 500 record. And you're right. I mean, you look at teams like St. Francis, Brooklyn, and teams like Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart has won two in a row. St. Francis, Brooklyn, you know, won their last game. They're teams that have been better as of recently. Bryant, on the other hand, started off stronger and has been, you know, sort of on the downfall. Fairleigh Dickinson has been the most streaky team I've seen all year, where they started off really bad, and then they won a bunch in conference, and now they've lost four in a row. But at the same time, you know, you look at these teams, and all of their road records are just not good. I mean, the best one being Fairleigh Dickinson being 6-6 on the road. Besides that, there's no one who, you know, wins more games on the road, and not even close. I mean, the closest one would be 4-8. Bryant, mm-hmm. and 5-9 LIU Brooklyn. I would agree with you. I think St. Francis, Brooklyn, or Sacred Heart are probably the best two, just because they've been hotter recently. And it's ironic because those are the two teams that, you know, beat RMU and St. Francis, is Sacred Heart and St. Francis, Brooklyn. But the question is, can you do it again?
For sure. I mean, I think, you know, anything is up for grabs. I think, you know, you can't really count out, you know, any team.
Yeah.
And what for the eight teams make the tournament? Is that what it is? So there are three spots left open right now. I mean, You can never really count anybody out, in my opinion, with these with these games. You know, no matter what, no matter what your record is, no matter how good or bad you've been, unless, like, you know, I mean, I hate to put it, but Wagner, who's, you know, 4-12 in conference, you're not, like, there's not really going to be a huge pull one way or another. Now, I know Robert Morris and St. Francis have kind of put themselves kind of at that next level compared to the rest of the conference, but, you know, every game is every game's up for grabs, you know. Last year we were within 10 against Notre Dame in the NCAA tournament for a while.
That was wild.
So you never really know any given game on any given day, but, you know, I would always, you know, as an RMU fan, I would love to see St. Francis get, you know, take a loss in the regular season or even in the playoffs. Yeah. But, you know, you never know. You never know. Yeah.
All right, so we got a couple minutes left, so I'll wrap it up with something, I guess, kind of like superficial. But, you know, it's that time of year with player awards, all right? In terms of, you know, it's pretty clear that it's most likely going to be Jessica Kovach that wins player of the year in the NEC. You know, there's no Anna Nikki Samuel Emperor to really compete. I mean, Kovach averages 24.3 points per game. The next closest is Sierra Clark of Wagner with 18.4, and I don't really think anyone from Wagner is going to be winning player of the year just because of how they've been. Do you think, I mean, I would have to think that in terms of rookies, it would, I think Hinoki Ikemazu would definitely have to be up there in terms of that. Either that or Jade Johnson of St. Francis Brooklyn, because Jade Johnson's right behind her in terms of three-point shooting percentage. You know, Honoka is almost a 46% three-point shooter. And, I mean, I'd give it to her. In terms of defensive player of the year, I think it's Ace Harrison, Ian.
Uh-huh.
Top three in terms of steals. We'll use that as our basic look here. Naomi Ashley of Bryant with 2.8. There's Ace Harrison with 2.6 steals per game. And then right behind her is Jocelyn Jones with 2.4. And actually right behind her is Jessica Kovach with 2. So that also aids her player of the year argument, you know, strength on defense. And where Ace Harrison comes in is, I promise you that in terms of blocked shots, she's in that conversation too. She averages a block a game, whereas, you know, that's not Jocelyn Jones's game. She doesn't have the size. I would give that to Ace Harrison. And I think that's all the awards in terms of.
Do they have Coach of the Year?
They do have Coach of the Year.
I think that has to go to Coach B.
Coach B won it last year, and I think he would have to, because think about the youth that they came in with. You know, you can't give it to St. Francis. His name is escaping me. This is really professional, but when you have Jessica Kovach on your team, you should be good.
Yeah.
You know, that's
you
like,
don't, it's and
like
you
having
don't need,
LeBron on your team.
Yeah, it'd be like giving Bill Belichick Coach of the Year every year with Tom Brady, you know? Yeah. Like, Charlie's done a really great job with what he's had, you know? And it just proves how good of an all-around coach he is, because he's recruiting this incredible talent to Robert Morris.
Yeah, we have, what, 5 freshmen this year?
Yeah.
And a good majority of them have had a significant impact on this team.
And if not Ikemazu for Rookie of the Year, there's also Megan Callahan, who's been a monster. I mean, I would put her right in that argument, too. You know?
Yeah, because while Ikemazu has had kind of those big games, obviously scoring 23 at Fairleigh Dickinson and 25 at Sacred Heart, but Megan Callahan has just kind of been consistently scoring a lot of points all the time.
Yeah.
Ikemazu and Megan Callahan are going to win NEC Player of the Years in their remaining 3 years.
They're going to be in that conversation.
And they're always, even if they don't win, they're always going to be, you know, up in two, three spots, I think, of consideration. They're definitely, I can see each of them winning at least one.
And it's
got to
be exciting
knowing
that these players have 3 more years. You know, it's kind of like that Anunnaki Samuel Emperor effect, where they came in, Anunnaki came in her freshman year, they made the tournament. You know, she was a big part of that. And then all of a sudden gets to senior year, and it's her team now.
Mm-hmm.
And
it kind of sucks for us because we're not going to be able to see that that final senior product. But
I'll come out for that.
Yeah. I mean, I
love women's basketball a little too much, but it's fine. They're great.
We could say you're the Matt Mamros of women's basketball.
All right. So on that note, we're going to finish up. Here's my close music. So this has been Around the Rim. This might be one of our last episodes of the school year. Because, you know, the season's running out. As much as I'd love to talk about it in the off season, I don't know how much there's really going to be to talk about.
I mean, I think
we may be traveling if we...
can we do a live hit from the NCAA tournament?
That would be
insane. If we're able to get there, yeah.
So, you know, hey, we can start a GoFundMe. If you guys want, get Will, Sam, and Ian to the NCAA tournament. We'll take any donations. If you want to send us food,
yes. That's
fine. We'll take food, too. Just mail it to the Academic Media Center under Sam Anthony. I will be there to receive it. Thank you. So this has been Around the Rim, and we will see you in 2 weeks.